A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Now, there's something about a podcast when it makes you feel like it's more than just a podcast. The kind of podcast that brings people together. It makes a community feel seen. It's like a cold beer on a warm day. The kind of podcast for people who stay 10 toes down and 4 wheels on asphalt. The kind of podcast that'll make you want to pet your dog. The type of audio that'll make you pick up the phone. Call a loved one. It's the type of podcast that makes you feel like you're sitting around a campfire. Sharing stories with the people who mean the most. This isn't just a podcast, it's a place. It's a place for people. For stories. And this place, well, this place is life. And life's a wreck. And we wouldn't want to have it any other way. Welcome. What's up, everyone? Hope you like that that intro. That was fun. I like doing that one. That's a personal favorite of mine. I'm Kyle Moore, and welcome back to The Rec. This is the podcast where we celebrate a world more mental and destigmatize all things mental health through sharing stories and just having a good old chat. If you want more Life's a Rec content, you can check out our Patreon through the link in our description and follow us at Life's a Rec Podcast on Instagram. Now that the administrative fluff is out of the way, before we hop into it today, I just kind of wanted to do a quick little life update. It is June is International Men's Health Month, and I have had an interesting kind of up and down couple weeks. So I just wanted to share that with all of you. I think that talking openly about, you know, our experiences, it's the foundation that Life's a Rec was built upon. So it's always nice to kind of kick us off in that way. So I've had an interesting few weeks, and the reason that I say that is because last weekend I had mentioned one of our Wednesday night lives that we do over at Life's a Rec Podcast. I had mentioned that I was starting therapy. And so last week I started therapy. I had my first session, and the kind of dichotomy that exists surrounding therapy is that, you know, it's such a beautiful experience to go and you know, find this space where you feel welcome to express yourself openly and start to work through some of the blocks that may be existing in your path. But at the same time, it brings up a lot of emotions. And so I've had a very kind of emotionally draining week where I've had some stressful experiences in my personal life. And then I've kind of had therapy on top of that that brings up some, you know, old unresolved emotions. And so it's kind of been I feel, to be honest with you, as I'm sitting here today, I feel a little bit drained. On the flip side of that, though, I am really proud of myself for getting back into therapy, because I'm always I preach so much on the podcast about precautionary care versus reactionary care. And I feel like this was one of those practice what you preach things. I've been in a good headspace for, you know, the past couple of months. I've been in a good place in my life. And I wanted to, you know, I was noticing that I was feeling a little bit, there was a few things that were coming up that were you know, triggering. And so I was like, okay, like I want to, you know, I want to get in front of the horse. I want to make sure that that I have an opportunity to work through these things before they escalate. And so I'm really happy that I did that. And then I think more so than that, in addition to therapy, I feel like I've just been having some good conversations. The conversation with Michael on the last podcast, that was one that, you know, with it being Men's Health Month, that was a very, you know, a very impactful conversation to me, to have two men of differing generations sit down and talk openly about, you know, their mental health experiences and the challenges that they've faced, you know, how their childhood experiences kind of shaped the men that they would become and how they viewed themselves as such. Like, it was an amazing conversation. And then, you know, one of the reasons that I got back into therapy was because of my conversation with Brian, that I had recently as well, on the podcast. And we talked all about therapy and the impact that it's had on both of our lives. And it kind of made me realize that there were some things that I was going through that I wanted to work through with a therapist. And so, you know, recommitting myself to that process, you know, I have Brian to thank. And then this week's episode, we're joined by Anna Almeida, the CTV Atlantic News morning host, somebody who I am so excited to introduce you all to. Some of you may already know her from her work with CTV, really just a fantastic personality around Halifax and somebody who's so wonderfully engaged with the community and somebody who I actually met. So this podcast has been in the work for over 2 years because I met Anna back in 2021 when we did a Movember walk together. We were introduced by Rick Mamie. I want to make sure that I shout out Rick because Rick was so accommodating when I first moved to Halifax. He had told me about a Movember walk that he was organizing, and Movember is obviously a initiative that I love so much. And so to participate in that was fantastic. And he introduced me to Anna. And you know, while we were going on this walk, she shared you know, that she has anxiety, and you know, we shared in some kind of mutual mental health experiences. And then she was telling me the story about her father's cancer diagnosis that we'll hear more about on the episode. And you know, we were talking and she was talking about how in 2017 she shared her experiences with mental health publicly, you know, through CTV on Bell Let's Talk Day. And you know, Bell Let's Talk Day played a very pivotal role in kind of publicly opening up about these mental health struggles. And as a immigrant, as a woman, a Portuguese woman, you know, this person who represents so many amazing communities, you know, for her to stand up in front of the audience that she has and talk about this very, you know, this sensitive subject that so many of us are, you know, aren't given that exposure to, it created this really impactful wave that was felt, not just across Halifax, but, you know, its reach was incredible. And, you know, the feedback that we talk about it in the podcast. And so it was one of those things that back in 2021, I was like, we got to, you know, we have to do an episode together of the podcast. And sure enough, we finally got to sitting down. I do just want to preface before we get into the actual episode, there was about a 5 to 7 minute story that Anna shares at the end of our chat, and it is probably one of the most heartfelt, sincere, authentic, beautiful stories that has been shared on Life's Wreck. And Life's Wreck was built on sharing stories, and so it will always hold a very special place for me because of just how it was just real and human it was. And it was just a beautiful moment to share in with Anna. And I'm so, you know, incredibly fortunate to have her on the podcast today. An amazing person to talk with. And I mean, that makes sense given, you know, she's got 13 years of experience as a TV personality. Anna, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you here. How you doing?
You know what, these days? I'm feeling pretty good. Nice. Things are okay. It's almost scary in a way. I think that's when I have, it causes me to have anxiety when everything is sort of like just settled. And I'm always kind of, which is a terrible way to live in a way, waiting for that shoe to drop. Mm. So it's something like I have to work through, but trying to sit in it and relish and just take the deep breath and be like, thank you. Everything's okay. So I'm okay. It's a nice feeling.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. Trust me, I completely get that. That when you said like waiting for the shoe to drop, that is something that like I've experienced so many times in my life where you kind of look around and you kind of get that like, it's almost too calm. Like it just doesn't feel right? Like it just doesn't feel natural.
Yeah, no, it doesn't feel natural. I think too, because, you know, I come from an immigrant family. I mean, we moved to Canada in 88. I was little, but I think I had to grow up fast. And I mean, I don't mind. I'm appreciative. I have a lot of experiences under my belt and it helped me grow up a lot. But I think it also, I had to grow up pretty fast. So yeah. So there's a lot when you have to take in a lot of information and make big decisions. And I've been making big decisions for a really long time. It's hard for me to settle. So people who know me, they're like, you need to relax. Everything's fine. But it's kind of like, are you okay? Are they okay? Did I miss something?
Oh my God,
is something
yeah.
happening?
Yeah.
Should I think about this? What did I do? Mom and dad, are you okay? Did I ask the right questions? Like, it never stopped. So I physically could be there with you. If I'm having, if there's a lot going on in my life and I haven't shared it so much that I'm internally somewhere else. I'm like, my body is physically here, but my mind is somewhere else exploring all the possibilities of things that could go wrong. It's hard.
I honestly, it's so funny. We've been recording for like 2 minutes and like, that's already something that like directly very much I resonate with in my own life is this idea of like, taking care of just a lot of different people around you and just taking on this responsibility that like no one asked you to, and not necessarily. It's just kind of like this self-imposed, like I need to make sure everybody's okay. And let's try to think of all the things that can go wrong and how I can like, you know, and even as like a child and that kind of stuff, how can I make sure that this like, you know, doesn't go bad for like the people that I care about the most. When did you like first kind of recognize that in your own life? Because I mean, for me, it goes like all the way back to childhood.
Yeah, childhood for sure. It took, you know, years for me to truly discover. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. And you don't even grasp the fact that you're hyper-focusing on things as much as you are. As a kid, I could see others weren't as bothered by things. But I suppressed a lot of things up until I think I was about 30 years old. I suppressed a lot that my doctor, she diagnosed me with post-concussion syndrome. So everything I had been suppressing for years, finally the lid screwed off and I couldn't put it back on. So if anybody could tell you, I held it together pretty well, but I always had bouts of it, of feeling down and not knowing why was I sad? Like, and things would really affect me. I did not like change. I was very emotional when it came to things changing. I did not like it. I felt very unsettled. So I find, it's been since I was a little girl. I love going on trips. I hated leaving, or I hated when people left. And I was always thinking like, I got to be there. I have to be a part of those memories. I got it. How about if something happens and I don't see these people, you know, like, I don't think kids should be really thinking like that.
Well, and it's funny because and I mean, like, I feel like so many kids do, though. And that's the thing is, like, it's almost like an all too common thing. I feel like there's like a million things that you just said there that I kind of want to like dive into. I mean, is that something like, have you kind of like progressed through that? Or is that something that just kind of like you've learned how to like work with this idea of kind of like shouldering the load a little bit?
I've learned to live with it. Not great some days, but I've learned to live with it. I think it's always going to be who I am. I know even in like past relationships, somebody I actually dated, and I thought to myself, wow, thanks for letting me know. I didn't even realize I was doing that. So then and then future relationships, I've then explained that to them, where my boyfriend of 5 years at the time was like, he's like, oh no, I get it. You're going to have to really think about this and dissect it and think about all the ways that this could go wrong for the next 2 weeks, because that's what all you're going to be thinking about. But then once you've figured all the different ways that things could go wrong, how you can approach it, then you can let it go. And I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize, but that makes, that's exactly who I am. I still do that now. Even if I get good news, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Did I hear that correctly? But wait, and they're like, just let it, it's good. Step away, move away, like let it be good,
right? Just like let it be what it is.
It's so difficult. So I think that, and my friends know that too, where if you're close with me and I feel comfortable, because it's a very vulnerable thing, you know, it's so vulnerable. And I'm very, very, very lucky. I have a core group of friends who are my family. My family, they've come a long way in terms of me opening up, and I can tell you about that. But my friends know when I say, hey, do you think that mole on my mom, this is a true story, in Mexico, can't just enjoy this trip that we're on for a friend's wedding with everybody there creating memories, I saw a mole. And I was like, do you think that could be cancer? Like, look at it. I made all my friends like walk by and take a look. None of them are doctors. None.
Right.
Google, not your friend. But they all went and they looked to humor me. because they knew that if they didn't get up and go and look, it would be worse for me. Do you get what I mean? So they went and they would look, and they understand that I need to talk about it. I need to say, hey, what do you think? Do you think I need them to tell me, what energy are you getting? Are you feeling it? No, I feel okay. I'm like, are you sure? It's like, I need that reassurance. I need reassurance. Even if I don't take it, I need to hear that they think it's going to be okay, or what they're actually feeling during that, during those circumstances and those circumstances. So yeah, it's a journey that I've come to learn how to live with. Again,
yeah,
some days are better than others.
I definitely, yeah, I can feel you there for sure. When you kind of talk about like your journey, you know, like where does it, like journey with mental health specifically? I mean, like where does it kind of start for you? Because like for me, like mental health had been part of my life forever. And I just kind of, because of like the way I grew up, the people that I grew up around, was never given like the language to kind of articulate what I was going through. And so it ended up just kind of being this like shit storm that you kind of get caught in. And you're like, I don't really know what's going on. This is just like the way I am, until you kind of get to a point where things are getting to a point where you gotta start to sort things out, because they're getting a little bit too much. And so for me, it was like university and that kind of time. I mean, like, where do you feel like your journey with mental health kind of begins?
It began as a child to immigrant parents, when you have to go to the appointments and they don't speak English and you have to translate. And God forbid you have to translate something bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That, oh my God, to me, that was... the thing. However, growing up in Cambridge, Ontario, where I grew up, was predominantly Portuguese. So I had other friends who had similar circumstances. I have an older brother who's 9 years older, but then it sort of fell on my shoulders because he was older and starting to live his own life, being 9 years older. So I remember things like that, and having to, you know, make decisions and having that pressure, and it was a lot. And I grew up in a very loving home. My family will love you and hug you and kiss you, but we did not talk about our feelings. So you kind of just brush it under the rug. Like, you're tough. You don't, you know, like, are you okay if you cry? It's like, don't cry. You're okay. And because it's very intense. Like, why are you crying? What's going on? Like, everything's fine. If you're crying, you're going to make me cry. And then it's kind of like, oh, okay.
Well,
so
you feel guilty. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a lot. And I know they meant well, but we just didn't grow up talking about our feelings. We'd say, I love you. I love you. I love you. You know, but that's as far as it went. So. Yeah, I started very young. And then you watch like Full House, these people are having all these family heart to hearts. And I'm kind of like, that's not my life. Like I wish, but you know, so it's one of those things. I started young, very young. And then I just became like, Anna's tough. Anna's tough. Anna can handle anything. Anna's tough. Yeah. Then you just kind of take it on. People want to talk to you. And, you know, I'm a treasure chest. I hold so many stories and secrets, and you know,
and in the moment, did that feel like a badge of honor at the time?
Oh, when it was like, still even now sometimes people are like, I want to talk to you, and I'm like, oh really? I'm like literally falling apart and hanging on by a rope, but I would love to talk to you. Like, you know, like,
oh,
this
God,
is
absolutely
right, because you feel so like, oh, is this my thing? Like, I don't have anything that I'm specifically good at. You know, when you an athlete, they're like, you know, that they can throw the ball or this or that. But I haven't found anything I'm really just good at. So when somebody's like, I'd love to talk to you, I'm like, yes, is this my thing? Okay, I'm here for it, you know, even if I'm falling apart. So yeah, I started off, I was very young, very, very young. Yeah.
So what was the, like when you started to kind of get to a point where you're like, I should probably start talking about this stuff. Like how have you kind of how has the interactions with your family kind of been? Because I know for me, you start talking about anxiety and it can kind of open up some Pandora's box where you're like, you're still trying to almost like protect the people you care about. I didn't want my parents to think that they like had done anything wrong. I was always so afraid. I don't want them to think that, oh, they made me like this. And like, that was always something I just felt like it was like, as soon as I started having those conversations, and it's something that I've kind of had to navigate through. Like, how has that been with like you being more open about your mental health? And then how has your family kind of taken everything, and how's that gone?
I think my friends really helped at first, because they were the ones, when you live away, I live away from my hardcore people. I live in Halifax.
They're still out in Cambridge?
They're all in Ontario. I mean, I'm very thankful. I have two homes, you know. I've created a great life here. I'm very thankful, great friends. With that being said, nobody knows you better than the people who've grown up with you.
Of course.
They know all your stories, all the different versions of you. So I remember I was turning 30. And I didn't know if I had an issue, but then it all started to hit me. I'm turning 30. And I went home. Now, this was after I had hit my head and was feeling these things. I didn't even know. I knew I always had bouts of anxiety. I just didn't know that it would get to this point or how that feeling would feel like. So my friends are the ones, my two best friends, Tanya and Ashley in Ontario, were like, are you okay? You've asked me quite a few times about this thing, and like, you know, and my brothers kind of noticed too. And I knew something was going on, and I went to my doctor, and she started thinking and saying, like, I think you should see somebody. And I was like, nope, not that it was an issue, but I just was like, I wasn't there yet. It's hard for me to chat. You know what I mean? So they started, and then we went away on this vacation for my friend's wedding. I was in a relationship. I didn't grow up talking about my feelings. I'm Portuguese. You tend to marry the first person you bring home. Mm. You don't live with a guy before you get married. I had done everything. Mm. So I felt like I failed because I wanted out of the relationship. Oh. So I felt like I had failed. I'm going to let everybody down. Mm-hmm. And my parents, what are they going to think? They, you know, so we're at the wedding and I was a case of anxiety, and it was the wedding day. My mom could tell. She's like, you seem off. I was like, no, I'm fine. And then I went to go tell her something. And I changed my mind. She's like, say it, say whatever you're thinking. Then finally I was like, I'm not happy. It's just, it's me. I needed a change, and I don't know what to do. And I started crying, and my dad did not see me cry like that. And he like swept me up, and my mom was with me, and they're like, oh my gosh, no, like we just care about you. We want you to be happy. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've been caring this for so long. If I had just said something sooner, I just didn't know that I could. I was happy it happened. And I think that was when things really started to shift in that right direction. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful. So thankful. I think they were just waiting for me to trust them.
Right.
You know?
Right. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. How did that feel? I mean, just to to know that this thing that you had built up in your head, I know how transformative that, like when you build something up in your head and then you actually like, it just almost bursts forth. It's just like, it's too much. The dam breaks, things come forth.
Yeah.
And then to know that the people who you've cared about and you have tried to protect and all of these things for so long are actually the ones who are going to be like there for you. Like, just like, how was that in that moment?
It felt like I could walk with my head up. Like I wasn't drowning.
Yeah.
They had come to save me, and they're my best friends, you know, and you don't realize even as an adult how much your parents' approval means to you. You can say what you want, but you know, my parents, how they perceive me, I want it to be positive. I'm a reflection of them. I feel like they've worked really hard to give me what I have. And I felt like I was disappointing them. I've disappointed myself. I thought this is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. How could it not be? How did it not work out in the way that I had planned? Why do I want to start over? And like at 30, sounds so old, you know, like people are getting married and engaged. And I'm like, I just need to be on my own. Who am I? You know, right. I've been trying to figure that out. So to have my parents be like, no, we don't care about any other noise. Like you are our daughter. We just want you to be happy. If you're happy, that's all we want. Get out. It's fine. You're not a bad person. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not a bad person. I'm not. Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Right. Yeah. 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 How have you been like, I mean, geez, like, how have you been navigating that? Because I think that kind of like, I feel like that's a really kind of natural transition into it, like almost like a conversation about like stigma, is this idea that like you hit a certain benchmark in your life, 30 years old, I have to have bang, 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 cleared up, checked off, these things have to be right. And like the value that I hold as an individual will dwindle if these things aren't kind of checked. I mean, like how have you navigated that kind of almost like pressure that maybe you put on yourself, but that was also kind of around you?
How do I navigate it? Life kicked me down. Oh, life taught me.
Yep.
Life is what has opened my eyes, because you think you're going to have all these things, and then life's like, no, honey.
Actually,
you're not in control. Yeah. So it's very humbling.
Yeah. Well, is that sometimes an easier thing, the idea of no control? Because I know even to this day, like,
no, I hate it.
I
hate it.
Yes.
It's the worst. I'm like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I need to know what's going on. And that's what, like, everybody's like, calm down. You don't need to be going a million miles an hour. Like, you need to relax. And I was like, I don't know. Like, you know, but I feel like it's so funny we're having this conversation. After you had chatted with me a month ago, I was like, my head space. I get like super bad seasonal depression, I find, and anxiety. But also too, everybody's in like, what is that thing? The cool kids, you're younger than me. Like, is it cuffing?
Cuffing?
You guys are all cuddling.
Cuffing season?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's in cuffing season. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, where's my dog? Do you know what I mean?
I'm
37. I'm like, I got nobody I'm with. I'm not interested in anybody. But it's like, I'm getting older. So you have this biological clock, like ticking. Like, people keep asking me, do you want kids? Do you want kids? I'm like, yes, I'm going to have kids. Well, then what are you waiting for? Well, I'm not going to have kids with Joe Blow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's 18 years for life there. So it's like, I want to make the right decision.
Absolutely.
So it's so much like, you see social media, it's like these constant reminders of all these things you don't have that you thought you were supposed to have. Like, I thought where I'd be at 37 is not at all where I am.
Right.
So it's been a hard pill to swallow in a way, but then I have to trust in God, the universe, that I'm on this right path, as my parents always say, this is what you're meant to be journeying on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I feel like now if I meet someone, they're going to get the best version of me.
Mm.
I finally feel like they're going to get the best version of me because I know how to approach things.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tricky.
Yes.
But once you're in,
yeah,
my heart and my wall, like, you're going to get the best version of me.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So, yeah. Oh, I love that, because
it's hard.
It is, right? And that's the thing, is I find it so about this podcast is, you know, you come on here and, you know, I chat with people and we talk about all of these like healthy things that you can do, the step-by-step process and how to properly, you know, using those bunny ears, navigate a certain situation. And then it's like, and then you just like turn the computer off, you close it, you turn the mics off, and then you go about life and it's fucking hard. And it's like, and it's so confusing. And then plus you're also looking at certain things through the lens of anxiety that just kind of like sticks around with you and will warp things in just such a certain way that it's like, wow, this is something that I really want to be enjoying and I'm totally not, and I'm super in my head and now I feel bad about that and a million other things. So it's just the lessons mm-hmm. that you take are
it's a bitch.
Damn right. Yeah, 100%.
Life's a bitch, but damn it, it's beautiful.
I
think to myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful. I'm going to go to sleep tonight and I know I'm going to wake up tomorrow.
Yeah.
I am so blessed. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But man, stuff gets tough. So my friends tell me, yeah, it could always be worse, but this is hard for you.
Yes.
So that's something I'm learning to be okay with, mm-hmm. like, you know, to complain, because I know people have it worse, mm-hmm. you know? So, and I don't want to seem selfish and, well, you know, there's the guilt thing.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I know. And it's the most like, somebody else has it worse. It's like, okay, well, what's really happening right now is we're just like, you know, whatever I'm going through, it's just not important. It's just not important, but it's like,
yeah,
it's your life. It's the only thing you understand. It's the only thing you know. Like, what you are going through is like, it is your world. Like, it's like the most important thing.
Yeah.
Oh God, I know. It is just like it's a weird road to
like,
wind.
I don't know if you get this, but I get this. Why can't you just be happy? Why can't you just be happy? Like, you got it. Like, you know, you have a great place. You got a dog, you got your parents mm-hmm. and like, you're on TV. Joe, how hard is it to get a job? Yeah, I know. I've been trying to get to Toronto on a national level. You know what I mean? Because that's always been a goal. Mm-hmm. And then the goals change over the years. And then it makes you question, like, what don't I have that they're not seeing?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why does he like her, but he didn't choose me?
Mm-hmm.
you know, like things like that, where it plays with your head. And then it's kind of like, no, you know, the universe is doing you a favor. I'm a big believer if things didn't work out that way, then that means something good and better is going to come. And think, I have to think that way,
yeah,
because otherwise I'd be in the corner.
Well, and it,
you know,
it is one of those things where it's like, I feel like even that is a bit of a practice in relinquishing control, where it's like, you really sometimes kind of get that almost like a reality check where it's like, I am small. There's a lot of things that are just completely like, the universe is really big and I'm really small. And like my experience is I just have to step up to the plate each and every day. And that's always something that, I actually, when I first went to therapy, and this is a whole other conversation we could have is about therapy, but like, when I first went to therapy, like one of the things that like really stuck with me was this idea that like, I was like, I would always go in and I'd be like, today's been absolutely awful. And my therapist would be like, today's been awful. And I was like, what do you mean? That's like the end of the world. Today's been awful. And it was like, today's been awful. That's, you're just objectively stating the truth. Today has been awful. And it was like, but you know, if you're going to let today ruin tomorrow, then all you're doing is just like, you know, robbing yourself of the chance of tomorrow and like how special that is.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it was like, always like, oh, like the idea of waking up every day and just having a chance to take a big swing and then the universe takes care of the rest. And whatever is meant to happen is just like, there is something, like you said, it's like beautiful about it where you're just kind of like, you're like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. Like you get to that point.
I could hug you.
Oh,
it's just so like, I love that because I listen to like motivational speakers and just like normal conversations. I think, for what I do and what you're doing with this podcast when I first started in television, in the broadcasting field, it was mostly like, I'm going to walk the red carpet. I'm going to talk to all these celebrities. Mm. I never dreamt about really getting married. It was always being on the red carpet and, you know, getting their stories. But then it's shifted in a way. It's so great to interview a celebrity, but not for the same reasons that I once was so captivated by. Mm. Now it's kind of like, who are you?
Yes.
Like, what made you laugh last? Like, when did you cry? And I don't take for granted, and not just celebrities, anybody. I don't take for granted the fact that people choose to chat and open up to me. I know it's difficult when somebody trusts you.
Yes.
You know, are all interviews fantastic? No, but you try your best, you know, right? So yeah, it's just one of those things I love. So I love listening to motivate. I love documentaries. Mm-hmm. I love stories. Like I'm the person, if you look over and I'm staring at you awkwardly in the next car, it's because I'm like, who are you? I'm likely never gonna see you again, but like you have this whole life, all these experiences. Who are you? Like, that's me. Like that's who I am. I'm so interested in people and what makes them tick, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that, so I resonate with that about as much as I can. Like, it's just, I kind of feel like this was a question. I was on Sick Boy podcast not too long ago.
Oh, they're great.
Great guys.
They're so good.
Amazing. I just had Brian over at my place the other day, and I was interviewing him. He's fantastic, Jeremy, all of them, Taylor. One of the questions that they asked me, and exactly what you said was basically my answer to the question, which was, what did your mental illness give you? And I was like, first of all, what a banger of a question, like fantastic question.
Yeah.
And I said, I was like, well, like, you know, I spent years in my own head and like exploring me, and I explored it in such a way that was like almost like harmful. It was through a very critical lens and it was really damaging. But then when I got to the point where I started to heal, I really saw like the beauty of the kind of like the human experience and like how there can be like, you know, people can change over time and people can become like, they can flourish. And it just sparked this like beautiful, like I'm like you, like you said, this podcast, like I get to share an hour with you, and for this hour we get to sit here and we get to talk about like what's made us, and like I get to ask you like what's made you, and like how has different things in your life affected your mindset and blah 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 blah, and like how special is that? And I don't know if I would have gotten to that place if not for the struggles that you kind of go through. And so it's kind of like you just said, it's special. It's people.
I think we all just want to be accepted and feel like we're a part of something. And it's, you know, we're all chasing something, you know, you could say you're not, but we're all chasing something, you know what I mean? We may not realize it, and it's life, you know, like you wake up, you're kind of set out to do all these different things. There's so many expectations. I wish I could tell my younger self to just be like, girl, relax, you know, it's going to be okay. Like, just go have a little bit more fun if you can. Go have a little bit more fun. The work will be there. Oh. Like, just have a little bit more fun.
It's so true,
right?
Too.
But it's like you're trying to, you know, pave this way and create a name and, you know, want to be remembered. And, you know, I want to be remembered now for differently than I would have those years. But that comes with experience. Yeah. I've always wanted to be known as like, yeah, Anna. Yeah, I'm okay with people saying, yeah, she's tough, but man, she has a great heart. She's really nice. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I love. She's tough, but she's nice. She'll
give you the time of day. She's kind.
She expects. Yeah, that's, you know, that's it. So, like, you know, being single at 37 and figuring out all these next steps, because as 40 approaches, here's another milestone. Like, you know, it's kind of like, just, okay, all right, just figuring this out. Like, it's a
lifelong process, right? There's no,
I guess so. Like, 40 is a new 30, like, say,
No, it's, well, and that's the thing is I do the same thing for myself, and it's just one of those things where I feel like if you kind of always look at these benchmarks and you kind of like it's that idea that the comparison is the thief of joy, where it's like I'm constantly comparing myself to something that doesn't exist. And it's like all I'm doing is robbing myself of the current moment. Oh, my God, this podcast should be the number one mental health podcast that I've been working on for blah, 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 blah. And it's like, damn. But at the same time, if I'm thinking about that, maybe I wouldn't be enjoying this interview quite as much. So it's a exercise and an appreciation in a weird way, and just kind of like, and also an exercise in just living in the current moment, which is so bloody hard all the time. And I'm so curious, like, why did you decide to start talking about this stuff publicly, like mental health, you know, Bell Let's Talk Day, all of these things, like why put yourself out there like that?
Because I have a platform. Hell, if I'm going to speak to people, then I want to be authentic. You can smell somebody who's not, you know. To me, the people I love most and respect most are the ones that have been through something, and I can find that common ground with them. To me, when Bell Let's Talk came around, I definitely at first was like, oh my gosh, people are talking about this, they're crazy. Like, I can't, you know, but that's because I didn't understand. You know, like, I thought if somebody had mental health issues, they were like going and to be locked up,
which is,
you know, like there was no real conversation. So I thought that was my perception, you know, and I remember being a little girl, and it still stays with me, where the Portuguese store, a lady had a baby who worked there, and they were teasing her that the baby was ugly because it made her cry, not realizing postpartum was like this big thing now. Then it was just like, why does she keep crying? And then after they were like, oh, we shouldn't say anything. And I remember standing there and being like, why is she crying so much? Like, what is she just had a baby. She should be so happy. So all these like different little things. And you start meeting people who are like, hey, yeah, I have really bad depression. And it's like, what? Right.
Yeah.
What? You know? And so more people started speaking up, and the Bell Let's Talk came, I think it was 2017, maybe, I think it was. And they're like, okay. And we had been doing it now for a couple of years, interviewed a few different people. I thought it was really amazing that they were speaking up. And then they're like, so who do you want to interview this year? And I said, me, that's who. Like, really? They're like, once you put it out there, you can't take it back. And I was like,
that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I don't want it. I don't want to take it back. You know, they're like, you're ready. You're going to be very vulnerable. Yep. They're like, wow, you're going to share. I was like, let's do it. I'm tired. I'm so tired. I am so tired of wearing a mask, man. You know, like, I have gone on TV and some of the worst days in my life have happened, and I have smiled through it. You know what I mean? And then I go off camera and I cry because I've had such a lot of personal things going on. So I just wanted people to know that it's okay. I'm dyslexic. I don't see things the way people see things. And I want people to know that if Anna can do it, I can do it. So I think of that. Adele, amazing singer, horrible stage fright. She throws up before she goes on stage. Like, oh my gosh, that makes me feel so much better. You know, like if I can make somebody feel so much better, I didn't. And as people started talking about their mental health, I started to understand mine a little bit better. And then I started talking to my therapist, and it's, you know, like being okay to confront and your feelings that you've been suppressing. You're not weak. I'm actually not weak. I'm actually strong for talking about how low I feel. So when it came time, I was nervous, just like this. It's weird to talk about yourself in this way in general, you know? But I was like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this. And I can tell you, it always makes me emotional to think, because that's usually when I'm out. That's, people still bring it up to this day. Like, I was flooded with so many amazing emails and saying thank you, or I didn't realize that those were how you described how you were feeling is actually how I've been feeling. I didn't know that that's how I was feeling. So I went and got help. You know, other people are like, I've been dealing with anxiety and depression for 6 years because of you. I reached out for some help. And to me, it's like, you know, you can't escape it. Like, look at Robin Williams. I find the people who want to make others smile and laugh are the ones who hurt inside. And we don't even know why sometimes. It just hurts. So I just wanted to ease somebody's pain a little bit and comfort them, and hope that they found a friend in me, even if they didn't know me personally, that our stories in some way were similar, if that makes 100%. Any sense. So I just wanted that. And it was freeing for me. It was like, I cut off all
That's
my
a great
hair
way of putting it.
And I was like, here I am.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, here I am. Take me as I am, who I am. And, you know, I was saying in my and people would laugh because I would make a joke, because that's just humor. You know, you laugh when you're like uncomfortable. So I'd be like, hey, my name is Anna. I'm single. I'm now 37. I have endometriosis. So I don't know how this whole kid process is going to go. You know, my family really doesn't speak English well. So you might not have those like really heart to heart conversation you might be looking for. Parents will love the shit out of you though and feed you. You know, I have mental health issues, so like I take medication every day. So, but yeah, I didn't have that on my dating profile, but I lead with that soon. Like, no, I don't care, like me or don't. Well, whatever. I don't care. I'm tired.
Like you said, I think like the words that you touched on there, tired, freeing. Like it is a cathartic experience to just be like, you know what, like in a weird way for me, it was like in the moment I thought that like my anxiety and these things won. I was like, you know what, you won. Everyone's finally going to know about this dark, shameful secret that I have. And the second that that kind of happened, and that like I started, you know, I clicked publish on my first podcast, and that was truly the first time I ever talked about my mental health. I was like fuck it. Like, you know what? I got nothing left to lose. Yeah. And there you go. Now everybody knows my dirty little secret. And I just remember after that being like, why do I feel so good? Like, this isn't what I thought I was going to feel like. I thought I was going to feel like garbage. And it's like, instead, it's like, it's a very, like, when you finally, it doesn't matter what stage of your life you get there. It's like, when you finally are like, this is me. Like, I don't need to prove anything to anybody. I'm just like, I'm just going to showcase who I am and be proud about it and be like, yeah, this is the shit I go through. Fucking take it or leave it. I don't care. It's like, I don't know. It was just like freeing. It's a weight off your shoulders. It's like wow. I don't have to, like you said, you can take off the mask. I don't have to be anything for anybody anymore. Yeah. I can just be me and the people who like choose to be in my life. It's like going to be a more authentic connection because of it, which is so special.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Like 20-year-old Anna couldn't, like, I've never felt like I was the prettiest girl in the room. I knew that I could talk to anybody in there. I definitely never felt like I was the smartest. So it's like, but there is nobody else like me. I am the only Anna Almeida you're going to meet.
And they might as well meet all of you, right?
You know, like you're the only you're the only Kyle Moore I'm going to meet. So it's kind of like, okay, cool, man. Who are you? I like it. I don't like it. You're not going to jive with everybody. Yep. It's just life. You can't connect with everybody. So it is like, I felt so thankful because people come and still talk to me.
Yeah. Were you expecting that?
You know, or colleagues or
like, were you thinking that like after?
No, I was hoping, I'm not going to lie, because it's kind of like, oh my God, I put this out there. I mean, I did have a couple people were like, a woman should never talk about in a public setting. Yeah. Oh, so I definitely had that. You know what I mean? A woman or a person should never. God, and I was just listen, get out. You know, but then it's kind of like, but then you remember that. I had 100 and something like nice things. And you remember that one person who's trying to put you down. But that's because, and it doesn't bother other people. But man, I've had to learn to work with that. Not just because I was on TV, but in general. Do you know what I mean? Because rejection is a big thing. You're so scared to take chances and put yourself out there. And it's like, it's daunting sometimes. So, but to have people say those things, and like, I'll be out walking Bailey, my dog, and people will still like, thank you, you're so open and I appreciate it. Like, oh, it makes me feel so good. It's the best compliment, you know, or you make me laugh. Right.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy. If I can make you laugh, like, I'm just thrilled. I'm so happy I could make you happy.
And I'm sure that that's something that like has been a longstanding thing for you too. Like we talked about earlier, like just that idea of being able to bring somebody joy. It's a special thing. Was it, was there like, cause one of the things that really sticks out to me, and I don't know whether I'm just kind of tying two threads together that aren't the same color. But you know, when you're like, you know, seeing this and you kind of see the, almost like this collective power of community, like, was there any kind of ties back? You know, you talked about growing up, you know, with immigrant parents and this idea of like seeing people who were also the children of immigrants and how they kind of had this like shared experience and how that is like a something that's like, it makes you kind of just feel like seen and accepted and like, and understood. And did you kind of see a little bit of like reflection between that experience in childhood and then also like that experience as an adult talking about mental health and seeing other people being like, oh my God, thank you. Like I feel like somebody who I look up to or who is like a peer of mine is also like in this shared experience that I'm going through as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, I had other people in the community reach out and say, Oh my gosh, thank you. Because even at first I didn't want to post that I had admitted all of these things, expressed how I felt, you know, and because I got emotional and I cried and my parents didn't really understand what I was saying because they don't speak English well. So they all saw me because they used to watch Live at Five all the time when I was on it. So they watched me cry and they called me immediately and was like, what's going on? And I still remember like having to talk them down. Yeah, like, no, I'm okay. Yeah. You know, not even fully expressing. So that's still like years in the making to this point. But other people were like, I had no idea. Oh my gosh, like, man, you hide that well. Me too. Like, I'm having a hard time. Like, thanks. So it was nice because they helped me feel like I was less alone. I was helping them, but they also helped me. They provided me with this sense of encouragement to just keep speaking my truth. And again, to have a platform. Yes. I mean, we all have platforms. Just because I'm on TV is no different. People watch other platforms, you know, cable. The media has changed. But with that being said, I don't take what I have for granted in that way. I share as much as I can, even on TV today, being like, hey, yeah, I have this. This is what's going on. Inflation. Mm-hmm. I'm one person. It affects me. This and that. Like, you know, I am just like you. Yeah. I just have a different job. Yeah. You know, my job is a little maybe perhaps more public. So, yeah, I've been so, so thankful. They have made me feel so good, and I'm forever thankful. I couldn't do this without those support. You don't realize how much it means to you that people ask you, how are you doing? Thank you. You know, like, oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, for the little girl who wanted to be seen, who never felt like she was the prettiest girl in the room, it's been so nice to be heard.
What are some of the things that what are some of the ways that you feel like you've kind of learned to handle when you do feel these like flare ups of anxiety, you feel things getting a little bit kind of tense? You know, what are the kind of things that you've started to do that you've found have helped? Somebody out there is listening. They may have never like kind of engaged with their anxiety in that way, but they recognize that there's something there. You know, what are some things that have really kind of taken the edge off?
What's helped for me is sitting in it.
I'm so glad you said that.
I can't run away from it. It gets worse when I run and try not to think about it. That weight on my chest where I feel like I can't breathe, it just gets worse and worse. So I just have, if I'm having a bad day, I'll wake up. I can really start feeling things coming on. My head starts spinning. I start thinking a lot more than I need to. Can't help it. It's who I am. I'll go into work. I'll tell the girls at my team. I work with awesome women. I say, because we always joke. I'm always like, guys, I can't handle jokes today. I'm having a really bad day. They're like, what's triggering it? I was like, I don't really know, but I know that I'm not great. I'm not good. Okay, got it. We're here for you. Nice. You know? So I put that out there. I've called in. I've definitely called in. I've called in to my boss and I said, hey, I'm not well. I need to take tomorrow off. And it pains me. I don't ever really call in. They can tell you that. I don't really call in to work. But then she was like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay, but I need this. Okay. Sometimes like, you know, are you okay? You can ask somebody as much as you want if they're okay. You know, you may not always get the truth, but it's still nice to be asked, right? So feel cared about. So I sit in it. I lay in it. I let myself feel. I cry the shit out. I question. I try to write in my journal. I'll go on social media, can't escape that shit. So, but then I try to like find things that make me smile and change a lot of the things I followed, you know, talk to my family. They'll tell me like, we're good. You know, I talk to my best friends, people will check in. So it's like it's a different, not one thing works for every single time. Every time is different. Do you know what I mean? So a long walk with my dog could really help the one day. The next day I need to lay in my bed and just cry it out. The next time I just need to put on a good movie. I love watching movies. People are always like, why do you always watch the same thing? And it's like, because I know the outcome.
Yes.
I love knowing
that is a
suspense of not knowing. It's like,
well, having like those like comfort shows where you're like, I know exactly what's going to happen so that I can keep my emotions like right in the middle.
Or I know that I need a good cry.
Exactly.
I don't want to let any new emotions in, but I know that this will make me cry. So then I'd be like, you know? So there's that. Or my friends they'll call and they're like, hey man, they're like, what's going on? They can always just tell. And I'm like, this is how I'm feeling. They let me cry it out. It was really hard to, I would build. And then like all of a sudden I'd be crying for multiple things all at once. You know what I mean? So now I'm trying not to let that happen. I'm trying to just like, it as it comes as much as I can. So different things help in different days. Please don't think that a band-aid fixes it all the same way. It doesn't. You have to figure out what works for you. It may not work that day, that particular thing. Try something else. Run on my treadmill. I have a love-hate relationship with running. I hate it when I'm doing it. I love it when I'm done. Right? So but that particular day will help me because I'm going through this journey. So like, I think if somebody is listening, it's okay to feel how you feel, accept it, learn to live with it, and then approach it and see how you can handle it. It doesn't have to be handled all in one day, one week. Work itself out. You just got to be okay with not being okay. Because it's okay.
It's I'm glad that you said just like sit in the feelings, because that was something that for so long I was terrified of feeling good because I knew it was going to come back down, feeling bad because I knew that I just didn't want to stay there. It was just the idea of just feeling in general and that numbness that kind of came with it. And then like, you know, finally kind of almost getting to this point of being like, well, I got to change something up or, you know, this is going to get to a point where kaputs, who knows what's going to happen. So like the idea of being able to just be like, you know what, I'm going to start feeling. And I'm going to start feeling, I'm going to feel the good, I'm going to feel the bad, I'm going to feel the ugly. I'm just going to feel it. And how much that just like you, it's amazing how many things, like how many emotions stay corked up for years and what those emotions become. And then when you actually just let them free flow, it's like, yeah, today I'm not feeling it. Today things are really in a really tough spot. It's a beautiful way of just kind of like honoring yourself about being like, I'm going to feel today. I'm allowed to feel. I'm a human being. I can feel whatever I need to feel. And it's just like
and it's so nice to have like friends who like, know that about you. And I always felt like if I had messages on my phone, I had to respond right away. And why aren't they responding right away? Because I had to respond right away. So it's like learning to, you don't have to respond right away. It's okay. I'm a self-sabotager when it comes to like relationships, because I'm so scared they're going to leave me high and dry. It's happened to me before. So now I'm kind of like, I'm nervous. But again, I know this and it's work. So whatever comes into my life, friend or you know, romantic partner, they have to understand I'm a lot of work, but I have the best heart. Like, I'll always show up. I'm loyal to a fault. You know what I mean? But it's because I give a lot, so I expect a lot, you know? But if they can work through the patience of being like, this girl is just, she's on a roller coaster of emotions, then they'll see that, you know, there's a beauty to it. It's just because I'm testing me, but I'm also testing you. Like, can you handle it? Can you handle it? Because my life's not easy. Can you handle it? I want to be able to, like, 50 years from now, know that this has been my ride. You know, I don't want to just be with somebody to be with somebody. I want to grow old with someone.
Yeah. So it's 100%. Friends too. Yeah, I get you for sure. Relationships in general. And I think that, like, one of the things that's a framework that, that, you know, I kind of learned is like, not even learn. It just kind of was something that came up a few different times with a few different people that I talked to through the podcast. This podcast has been like the best resource for like learning about mental health, things. And you know, this idea that like, we always say like life's hard. And that yet, like, you know, we ourselves are in this kind of strange way, like just a universe personified, where it's like a bunch of like inanimate things banged against each other for billions of years. And then all of a sudden, like, we're sitting here on laptops talking about mental health. And it, just the idea that, like, you know, we always say life's hard, and it's like, yeah, being us is hard. Being a person is hard. And like the experiences that you go through, it's like, you got to be, you know, open to the difficulty of just existing, and being open to like having those people around you who are, you know, feel that too.
You know, growing up, and my parents were so strict. My dad, I was like, I couldn't wait to get out of the house. I couldn't wait to be nothing like them. I didn't want to be the Portuguese, like everything, all these things had to be this way. I've done everything the other way. My dad was like, I always said, if I wanted you to do something, I'd have to say it in a way that would make you go and do it. Like, because if I said go right, you go left, you know, just, that's just who you are as a person. You know, my parents were like, we never worried about you. Cause I was like, man, you don't call me. You call my brother, but you don't call me. They're like, we never worried about you. You know, somebody said, jump off this bridge again. You'd be like, whoa,
I'm not doing that.
Why? Yeah. You know? But I, now being 37, my gosh, I'm so thankful. Like, I'm so thankful for the way that I grew up. You know, I have no regrets in that way. I didn't grow up talking about my feelings. It doesn't matter, because now I do. My parents and I have the most incredible relationship. My dad and my mom are my best friends. My dad was diagnosed with cancer. That's how you and I met during the walk for Movember. And my dad and I, we had started to talk, but not as much. And I went home for 6 weeks. I took a 6-week break from work. My doctor, my friends were getting worried. I lost a lot of weight. I had... my mom was sick in 2020, and she was in the hospital for a month. I'm trying to do everything over the phone with doctors because I can't get there because of the pandemic. My dad, we didn't know my dad was sick, but he wasn't well. So I went home for that Christmas, got my mom home, figured out, you know, new way of living. Fine. Still surface level, you know. Cried a little bit, but just still surface level of emotions, making sure, because if I'm strong, they're strong. They see that I'm strong, they're okay. So then, you know, and then I remember it came February of 2021, just a few days after Valentine's Day, I remember, and I got a call. My dad had gone in for PSA levels, and he went to get a biopsy. And they're like, your dad has progressive prostate cancer. We don't know if it's spread. We won't know for 2 weeks. I was like, my dad?
Right.
Like, no. Yeah. But I knew, like, I could feel it. I knew that was the information. But then my parents don't speak English well. So then I have to be like, yeah, dad, you have cancer. I have to be the parent to my parent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I had to be the parent to my parent.
That must have been, yeah.
So.
Sounds like a lot to say that to your dad.
And then like a couple days later, I was in a relationship and that person broke up with me. I was very much blindsided and like moved out 2 days later after my dad's diagnosis. So like my mom's not well, my dad is, we don't know if my dad's cancer has spread. It's progressive. It's not great. And this person I thought I trusted totally bailed on me during the most difficult time of my life. And then I have to go on TV and pretend my whole life is okay. You know? So then things happen for a reason. And then, you know, and then I started to lose weight. I was just stressed out. I'm making all these doctor's appointments and calls and, you know, trying to make these life decisions for my parents and my dad. Like, do you want to do this? If we don't do this, am I doing the right thing? Did I miss any steps that I, you know, am I checking? Is he telling me everything? I'm like, oh my gosh. Finally, my doctor is like, and you can't go home because of the damn pandemic. You have 2-week isolation coming back. Who has enough vacation for that? I can't work remotely. I have a really a different sort of job. So finally, my people at work were starting to notice. And they're like, you haven't laughed in a long time. Like, you haven't really laughed. And I was like, oh my gosh, I really haven't. And then my doctor went in for something else. But I think she just wanted to see me and see just how I was doing. So she had me come in for something else. And then when I was there, she's just like, how are you? And then and then right away, she's like, no, she's like, I'm taking it. She's like, I'm like, no, I can't, I work. And like, she's like, no, you're going into work tomorrow. You're taking 6 weeks off. If you need to be off longer to work on yourself, I'll give it to you. You're going into work tomorrow. I was like, I can't. Like, I'm going to call you in a week, have your stuff figured out, but you're off.
Wow.
You're not going to keep going this way, because it was very real. Like, I remember driving home and thinking, like, if I just drove my car into this tree, what does it matter at this point? But then I was like, whoa, no, like, what would my dad do? How would they get here? Yeah. How would they work here? You know? So I took 6 weeks off. I went home, tough, showed up. And I was like, oh dad, I'm here because I'm here to help you through your treatment. You know, like, not because I'm like, I'm helping you through your treatment. And I remember it was June 18th. I remember it perfectly. I went, I took my dad to his appointment for his cancer treatment. I could feel things coming on the night before because my dad is my rock. He is like the strongest man I've ever known, you know, and I came home. He was in the fetal position the night before. And I remember standing there and I was like, dad, I was like, oh my gosh, I had never seen him so sick in my life. He had hit it so well, you know? And then he was like, oh, Anna, I'm good. Like, still, even like that, he's still saying I'm good. And I was like, okay, I'm good too. Okay. Right. Okay. We're good. I went upstairs. I could feel the anxiety, the weight on my chest that I'm like trying to catch my breath. I drove him the next day to the hospital. He did his treatment. We were leaving and I just couldn't think. I remember calling one of my best friends and her helping me out. My dad and I, we always go to Value Village. It's our thing. We're thrifters. Tuesdays, seniors discount. That's when he's proud to be a senior because he gets the 30% off. We go all the time. So we're driving to Value Village. And all of a sudden I just couldn't breathe anymore. And I couldn't breathe. And he'd never seen this. This is the first time. Imagine, you know, 35. Yeah. Like, this is huge. I started hyperventilating. I was like, I got to pull over. So we were in the parking lot randomly, Value Village or place. And he's like, what's going on? And I started hysterically just bawling and like convulsing. And he was just like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, are you okay? And I was like, Dad, like, Daddy, I'm like, I'm not crying because I think you're gonna die. I'm crying because I'm so mad. I'm so mad at the world. I'm so mad. Like, you, this is not fair. You're such a good person. Like, how the fuck did this happen to you? This is like, I'm all alone. I want you to be there to walk me down the aisle and to be there for my babies when I have them. You know, I want you to be there. And I'm so upset because you think you have all this fucking time. You know, and it's like, this is the reality of it. And he was just like, he'd never seen that. And I just cried and cried. And he just scooped me up and held me. And he was like, Anna, this is why I'm fighting. I promise you I'll be there. I'm going to see you be the happiest girl in the whole wide world. I'm going to meet that man who's going to love you. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to shake his hand. I'm going to see you have babies. And I'm fighting because I'm going to be there to see your babies one day. And ever since that moment, there's nothing we can't talk about. Nothing. Wow. It changed everything. It changed everything. Being vulnerable is the most beautiful gift you can give somebody and to yourself. To be vulnerable with yourself and your feelings is the most incredible gift you could give. You could give to this world, because you're the only one who knows how you feel when you go to sleep at night. Doesn't matter who's lying beside you. You have to understand that how you're feeling, it's okay to feel how you feel, because you can't change it. so you might as well sit in it. And I'm so thankful that that's going to be the changing moment in my life, with that moment with my dad coming home and then being sitting with my mom and my dad. And
yeah.
Ever since then, it's like, you got to smell the roses sometimes, you know, even when my head is spinning.
See, that right there, that's what it's all about. That is a gift. And I am so grateful to have shared in that moment with Anna, and for Anna to have come on the podcast and shared so openly about her story. A really special episode. You know, and that's what I love about podcasting is the best for those specific kind of moments where, you know, other mediums are, you know, there's so much editing and clipping, and you kind of create storytelling in your own way. And then sometimes in podcasting, when you just have the opportunity to sit and truly, like, actively listen and engage in a moment and listen to somebody tell their story with that much conviction and emotion, and then share it with all and have the opportunity to share it with all of you, the listener, the people who are listening right now, like, that is really, really special. If after that conversation you're left wanting more, first of all, completely understand. And you can head on over to our Patreon for an exclusive look at an extended interview with Anna. I can't thank Anna enough for taking the time, sharing her time and her story with us today, for being on the show. All of her socials will be linked in the description. I hope that this chat inspires you to continue to explore the world of mental health and start having conversations in your own life about the beautiful wrecks that we all are. And just remember that through all of it, through the highs and lows, the ups and downs, the good days and bad days, that life's a wreck. And I'll see you in 2 weeks.
It's a wreck.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.